saved and in the family of God. Appreciate His saving grace to us and His mercy.
Amen, brother.
Our life, and what a privilege it is to serve Him in these days. I'm glad He knows our needs long before that we know. And He's a providing Father, and is able to tend to us and to help us along the way. I appreciate that.
Amen, brother.
Thank y'all for the good basket, the wonderful goodies that were in that. I thank God for that and be able to meet our need. And I thank the Lord for the snacks and stuff for there. The preacher for letting us stay there at the fellowship hall, real blessing. And I've enjoyed just walking around the parking lot and just enjoying the mountains. And I sure thank God for the beautiful scenery up in these parts. The leaves are changing and it's real pretty. It's been a real refreshing time for me. And I thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
And I appreciate coming in today up the road here and past a little, I guess it's a restaurant down on the corner down there on the curve. They said they had steak and gravy and it said, and fixins. And so I thank God I was raised where I know what and fixins means. Man, nothing's broke with the meal, I guarantee it. I appreciate mountain people and
Amen.
People that just was raised and to honor and to reverence their folk and to reverence the Lord and His house.
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate the Lord's goodness to us tonight. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 2. That's where the Lord would have us go to tonight. And we'll just try to be obedient to Him and follow His direction in the service tonight. He knows who's here, and most importantly, He knows what we each stand in need of tonight. And so I want to be careful, mindful, diligent tonight to try our best and light of the Lord and His leadership to follow Him tonight. The Book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2. I guess we'll begin reading in chapter 2. Be a good place to start. Found your place and want to stand with us. We'll begin reading there together. Song of Solomon in chapter 2. And let's begin reading in verse number 8. The Bible says, "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, hewing himself through the lattice." Aren't you glad He allows us to get a peek of Him every once in a while? He says here in the next verse, He says, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of doves, of birds, is come. And the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grapes give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." What an amazing piece of scripture in the context of this love story between a shepherd boy and this fair maiden. I'm interested in a portion of scripture here, in specifically in verse number 10, where 10, 11, and 12 is where my heart is tonight. As well as, I'll just say this, and y'all pray for me tonight. Pray for us now. 1 Kings chapter number 17 is a another portion I do want to bring to us tonight. As the Lord has given direction, we want to read that portion as well. We'll go back and read the, I believe what the Lord would have us do is our core verses tonight again, and we'll pray together. And Elisha the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And shall be that there that thou shalt drink of the brook, and that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. We went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. It came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. It's amazing how these portion of scriptures get two different stories entirely, but how they link together in that there are common denominators in both Song of Solomon chapter 2 and 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, again, in our reading in Song of Solomon, the Bible spoke to us, and he said, "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is gone, the rain is over and gone. The birds appear, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." I'd like to preach to us tonight a little bit about rain, direction, and birds. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your grace tonight, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your help. Lord, I'm looking unto you now, Lord, for direction in this service, God. I love you, Lord, tonight. You know what I stand in need of. Lord, my mind before you tonight, my heart is an open book, God. Lord, you know you're able to turn the pages tonight, Lord, and put upon me, Lord, that which you need. I pray, God, that you would tonight, Lord, manifest yourself to us in a special way. I've been, Lord, obedient in the sense I've tried to follow your spirit tonight, the best way that I know how. And I ask you to please, Lord, manifest yourself to us, Lord. Speak through us tonight, I pray, God. I pray that you would, Lord, touch the saints of God tonight. Lord, and according to your riches and glory, would you manifest yourself to us? I cast myself, Lord, wholeheartedly, Lord, into thy hands tonight. Lord, whatever's done here tonight, Lord, it'll be because of you. Lord, I confess my inability before you in this congregation, Lord, my weakness, God, and I look unto you now, Lord, the author and finisher of our faith, for your help and direction. And in Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Thank you for praying, and you can be seated. I'm amazed here at these two stories in the Word of God, how there are men, there are characters. One is a young lady, and one is a man of God. And yet they both get direction about getting up and going down to a place. And so in both of these stories, there is a time where the rain is over. There is a time where there is no more water. In Elisha's case, the brook dried up.
Amen, brother.
In the case of of this young fair maiden. The Bible says that the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. And then in both of these portions of Scripture, in the Tishbite's case and in the young maiden's case, there are mentioned and specifically penned by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, birds. The Bible in the Song of Solomon's case said the time of the singing of birds is come. And in Elisha's case, there were ravens that were sent at the right time to meet his provision, to meet his need. They came in the morning and came in the evening. And I'm amazed at that portion. I'm amazed at how the Bible comes together. I appreciate the wordings of the Word of God. I believe that we all have a job to do in this life. I believe as God saves us, He doesn't save us and then think about a job for us to do later. I believe in the mind of God, long before He said, "Let there be light," in His foreknowledge and in His understanding of mankind and His great plan that He's performing even now on this night, that He has a plan for our life.
Amen,
He is to this God. It is He, it is God that wills, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it, shall perform it until that day. And so we know that that God has purpose and plans for each of our life. If you will, in the body of Christ, each of us has a specific place.
Amen.
Each of us has a place of ministry in the body of Christ. According to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, I believe it's in verse number 12, or it could be possibly 14, but we'll look there quickly. Ephesians 4, and we find in verse number 14, it says, in verse number 16, it said, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now then we understand that everybody that is born again by the grace of God, God it has placed us in His body.
Amen.
Now we know the body is the church, according to Ephesians 1 and 22. The Bible says, "And He hath put all things under His feet and gave Him," speaking of Christ, Jesus, "to be head over all things, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." Now then, we understand as we venture down the runway this evening together that the body of Christ is formed up of born-again believers.
Amen.
And we know that the body of Christ, even as we mentioned maybe last night it was, that this is a local body of Christ. Now then there is the universal body of Christ where God is working, calling sinners out of their sin to His glorious light and His gracious offering of salvation worldwide tonight.
Amen,
and so as He has placed us in that in the body of Christ, it has been a specific placing by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. In so in other words, exactly in the body where God's placed you is the best place where you can magnify Christ and bring glory and honor to God.
Amen, brother.
Now, there are times in, and I'll use the word ministry as Paul did in referring to that the body was able to minister unto itself, and the body is able to minister to those that are outside of the walls where the body would meet together.
Amen.
And so there are those that are involved in ministry or in the body of Christ that find themselves weakened or find themselves exhausted, find themselves tired, and so that we're not able to carry on exactly what God would have us to do. So Elisha had gotten orders from God to go to Kirith. And then here, the beloved had heard the voice of her beloved say for her to rise up and come away. And so there was a specific calling and direction was given.
Amen.
And so as we mature in the body of Christ, we're able to come to a state of understanding that God has so purposely, so intricately, so supernaturally placed us in a specific place in the body of Christ. One of these men, in particular, is a man mentioned in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, whose name is Archippus. And he was a member of the church in Colossae, a teacher, an elder in the church. He was able to fill in there. And I believe because of the context of the epistle of the book of Colossians, that Paul desires that the epistle of the Colossians be read to them that are in Laodicea, and also the epistle in Laodicea be read to those in Colossae. So I believe that they were close together. If my memory doesn't fail me, there were some 30 miles in distance, 12 miles, south of Laodicea was Colossae, and it was situated on a very busy trade route that went from Ephesus all the way to the east, where they was able to make trade there on those rivers and ports. And so it was there in Paul's ministry, the book of and his time when he was in Ephesus, that he began to preach the gospel. And in that preaching there, his years there, few years there in Ephesus, that he had a convert whose name was Ephesus, and this fella was the one that was a citizen of Colossae, had taken the gospel, the born-again message from Ephesus back to his hometown and began to preach exactly what Paul had been preaching all along in Ephesus. And there was a body of believers called out by the saving grace of God. And so Paul, per se, never stepped foot inside the city of Colossae to preach. God had used this young convert of his to go forth, but yet he wants to invest in them. When he hears of their love for the saints and their labor of love, their ministry, he wants to invest in them. And so he understands that there is a circle of fellowship between Philemon, who also is a citizen of Colossae, and which Paul meets a young slave in prison, Onesimus, who was under the household of Philemon. And then, so we begin to see this circle of fellowship in the mixed, how that it's all hooked together. And in his epistle to the Colossians, Paul says to Archippus, he says, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it.
Amen.
So there was something now, there was something going on in Colossae that deemed the apostle by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to pen a verse specifically, personally to Archippus, who was a, according to Philemon, verse number 2, he said, our beloved Archippus, our fellow soldier. And so Paul put this man, this Archippus, as a fellow soldier with him. In other words, that a fellow soldier, they have, if we're in the same army, we're fighting the same fight, then we're fellow soldiers. There are some common denominators there. If we're fellow soldiers, we have the same enemy. If we're fellow soldiers, we have the same captain. And so Paul looked at this man, Archippus, and said, you know, I deem you a fellow soldier. We're on the same side. We're on the same battle lines. We're on the same side fighting the same enemy under the direction of the same Father, the same God, the same Lord Jesus Christ. And yet his heart ached for those believers in Laodicea and those here in Colossae. And there is a message gone out personally to his fellow soldier, and he says to take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. I'm amazed at how that in this same verse that he mentions both two commands. One is to take heed, and the other is to fulfill. And so it seems as if maybe somewhere along the line, Archippus may have been thinking about something else. Maybe his place in the body of Christ. Maybe he was tired. Maybe there was such labor of making the 12-mile hike to Laodicea and back and trying to carry out the office of an elder as a teacher, trying to effectively minister to the body of Christ in Laodicea, which there was probably several bodies, several churches there. And then in Colossae, it's written to the Colossians, so there were probably more than one body of believers in this area. And I imagine the fella had gone forth laboriously trying to begin to deliver and deliver and give and give and give, maybe to the place to where this verse is has been issued to his regard.
Amen.
By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And he says to take heed unto the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. It brings an understanding that in this epistle to the Colossians, as they are facing difficulty in their day, Nero is about to take office, that there are believers there in the city that's filled with wealth and anything you can imagine to pull their attention away from the work that God has placed them to do. They're living in an era, they're living in a day where this trade route from Ephesus out to the east is riddled with all sorts of new stuff, all sorts of new things that would easily grab their attention. And maybe steer them away
from what God has for them to do. Archippus' name means master of horses. It's understood that in Colossae was an agricultural area. They raised sheep. They was known for their fine woolen that they produced, and it's dyed red, and how that it made that area very, very wealthy. And so we know what the Bible tells us later on in the Lord's revelation as John pens and tells us the dilemma that the Laodicean church is in, how that they're not hot nor cold, but they're lukewarm. And their mind, no doubt, by the ebb and pull of the world, all of its glitter and all of its glamour has been swept away. Now, how we find Archippus here in this state. And I thank God for the Apostle Paul, the man of God that he was. Some men said he was a great man of God. I've heard other men say that certain preachers were great men of God. But I want to report to you tonight that there are no great men of God. They're just regular, ordinary men that serve a great God. And so, so we find now that the apostle says to take heed. Amen. He's in this state possibly of a tiredness. Maybe he's trying to figure out on his own how he can provide. Maybe he's trying to muster up some sort of scheme, some sort of business plan, how he's going to make it up to the next level. Maybe he's looked around and saw his neighbors there in Colossae. Maybe on the 12-mile trek to Laodicea, he's pondered on. He saw how that they was growing in wealth and how they was so full of that abundance, how he thought that maybe how he could climb and achieve that next level. Oh, Paul saw the dangers. Oh, he said, if I can just get him to take heed, to look and see. Maybe he thought that the position that he was serving was insignificant. Maybe he thought that the place where God had placed him wasn't a big enough position. And so he thought, well, this just isn't a very importance. And so I don't have to give my all to this position. Or maybe through circumstances, maybe since he was a fellow soldier of the apostle, maybe he had desires to walk in and preach arm in arm with this man of God. Maybe he thought, if I can get to that place and if I can accompany Paul to the uttermost parts of the world, it would be a great part of ministry. It would be a great part of the body of Christ to serve on that magnitude. But maybe something happened in some different circumstance or whatever, but it enabled him only to be at this place. And so we find now in the Word of God where Paul says to take heed. Now that we understand, the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And so by using the principle of first mention, we go back to the words together, take heed. It's found in the book of Genesis dealing in the story of Laban and Jacob. Jacob has worked for 7 years for one and seven for another, seven more for livestock, and he's gotten up in the middle of the night. He's left. He's taken Laban's two daughters. He's taken over half his livestock, and he's left without saying goodbye. And so Laban, as you can imagine, is a little hot under the collar, and he makes pursuit to overtake Laban. The Bible says, chapter 31 and verse 24, and God came to Laban, the Syrian, in a dream by night, and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob, neither good or bad. He goes on again in verse 29 and said, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the God of your father spake to me yesterday night, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob, neither good or bad. Now, what God has spoken to Laban is this. Now, Laban has got his mind made up that this character has moved in. He's taken away my two daughters. And let's just side with Laban for a minute. He's taken away over half my livestock. He's fixing to have my grandbabies in a faraway place. And I'm not going to allow this to take place. And so he's on his way. He's on his way there to apprehend Jacob. And in this place of apprehension, God speaks to him, Laban, in a dream, and says, take heed. In other words, what he said is, don't do anything good, don't do anything bad, don't mess with my plan. God said to Laban, it's in my plan to take your daughters away. It's in my plan to take the livestock away. It's in my plan that they marry Jacob. It's in my plan that they go to a faraway place. And so don't mess with what I'm doing. It's my plan. I've orchestrated this way. I've put it in order this way. By the way, Laban, long before the birds ever begin to sing, long before the sun begin to shine, I had this plan already fixed. And so I'll just go ahead and tell you right now, don't mess with what I've got set up. And so we understand now that this take heed has weight to it. In other words, that God used Apostle Paul to speak to Archippus there in Colossae by saying, take heed. In other words, Archippus, you may not like the ministry that you've been doing. I understand, Archippus, it's hard. I understand it's grueling to try to preach and teach the gospel and expound the mysteries of Christ to that Laodicean crowd. I understand it's difficult to try to go in Sunday after Sunday and I prepare a lesson that's got God dripping on it. I understand it's hard to push away the cordly and get with God and read the Bible and get what God wants to say to His people and go forward. I understand it's difficult. That crowd in Colossae, they're more interested in their sheep. They're more interested in making an next buck. Oh, but please, Archippus, take heed to God. It's what God has orchestrated. It's what God has pushed you in the body of Christ. Don't fail God. And He said, take heed to the ministry. Now, I want you to understand that it wasn't so much about what Archippus could produce in his own hands. It wasn't so much about what Archippus could do in his own power. But it was Archippus getting in a place where he could be a channel for God's grace to flow through him and affect the body of Christ. Now, I want to remind you, thank God, that it is God. You find the ministry first mentioned in the Word of God in the book of Exodus, chapter 4, when it's speaking about the ministry of the tabernacle. And it's speaking specifically of those instruments of ministry, those flesh hooks, those shovels, and all those instruments they used around the altar of incense, around the brazen altar, all those things. So I want you to know tonight that your ministry, where God has placed you, the ministry where God has placed Archippus, it's not of your own power or your own intellectual ability or of your own makeup, but you, dear friend, are an instrument in the mighty hand of God. Oh, how God is looking at a night for an instrument they can reach out and use, thank God. I was thinking the other day, coming down the road, as I think about preachers, I think about preaching, I got to pondering. I know it's simple, but bear with me. I got to thinking about a cordless drill. How sometimes you use a drill, it'll bore a hole through a 4x4, and you need all the power cranked up. But yet sometimes you need the same tool, the same instrument, to just tighten a little screw. And so, man of God, I want to say, don't get discouraged. And if you're not on high power all the time, and just stay with God, because you are an instrument in the mighty hand of God, thank God. Oh, I'm grateful for the times He picks us up. Oh, preacher heart, preacher friend, had it that the master picks us up and the preacher shows up and he is full throttle from the get-go. Oh, but I want to remind you, He's still at working. He's still doing just an important work when He's just tightening a little screw. Thank God. Oh, what a blessing it is to be in the ministry of God and serving God. Thank the Lord. I'm grateful for every time God has ever blown by our way and used us for His honor and glory. Oh, but Archippus, I want to remind you, oh, it's a tiresome day. It's a dreary day. But I say, press on, dear friend, for it won't be very long, thank God. Oh, Archippus, let us know what God said. Oh, He said this. Oh, He said, in those times when it gets dry, in those times when it gets difficulty, oh, in the times when the water begins to dry up, just stay with God. Oh, we know there were some others that was in areas where the streams dried up. Oh, thank God. But he said, Elisha there at the brook Kereth, he said, hang tight. I know the water's dried up, but don't worry. I have a command of the ravens to bring you something to eat, thank God. Oh, he said, I have commanded not only just one time, but in the morning to bring flesh and bread, and also in the evening to bring flesh and bread, thank God. I want to remind you, God is still a God of provision, thank the Lord. Oh, thank God, ravens are still flying today, thank God. He probably saw one today flying around. He's probably dropping off a blessing out of somebody, thank God. Oh, what a blessing it is. I didn't know, thank God, but that I was in need of a vehicle. I didn't know I was in need of a car a few weeks ago, but God had dropped off in my basket and said, son, ravens are still flying. Don't get discouraged. Don't get down. I'll send you what you need, thank God. Oh, and God, touch some hearts of some folks sitting in this place tonight to drop off down by the dry creek, thank God, to this lonely preacher. Oh, car that's parked right out yonder. I bless His good name, thank God. Woo! Ravens are still flying, thank God. He knows our needs. He's able to provide and meet every need, thank God. It don't matter if it's a basket full of fruit, thank God, or if it's a canned goods, He's able to meet your need. Woo! 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 He's able to meet our needs. Archippus, don't worry about what your neighbor's doing about getting the next big ministry. Just stay where God wants you. Archippus, don't worry about getting the next big this or the next big that, because the God that puts you in the body is able to provide you everything that you need, thank God. Oh, Archippus, stay with God. Oh, Archippus, stay where God wants you to be. It may not be a very big place of ministry. You might think all it is something little. Oh, but I want to remind you, dear friend, what you think is little may not be little to God. And I want to remind you, dear friend, that God could be doing a great thing through you, thank God. I want to remind every Sunday school teacher in here that Charles Wesley had a Sunday school teacher. Charles Spurgeon had a Sunday school teacher. I want to remind you in here tonight that George Whitfield had a Sunday school teacher. That David Brainerd had a Sunday school teacher. Oh, thank God. Brother Bowles, did you have a Sunday school teacher? I was sitting in here tonight. I could say, Brother Logan, I had a Sunday school teacher. I could say, Brother David, I had a Sunday school teacher. I will remind you that your place might be dry. It might be tough, but just stay with God and stay with Him, thank the Lord. It is the body of Christ. Now, Ephesians 4, the Bible says this. It tells us that from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by, the context here in this chapter is unity. Fitly joined together and compacted by, unified by, that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That means every part of the body of Christ, every part, and this illustration, the Apostle Paul uses a body.
Amen.
And when you look at a body, you have fingers, you have joints in the hand, you have a femur, you have a shin and tibia, knee joints, ankle joints, toes. Everything is fitly joined together.
Amen.
By God's grace and good health, we're moving pretty good tonight. Hands and everything works together.
Amen.
Everything is fitly joined together.
Yes, sir.
If I were to trip and skin my knee, other parts of the body need to come to the aid of that wound. If I left my knee skint up, if I left it skint up, it would maybe get infected. But my knee is skint. It's calling for help. Now my shoulders are involved. My elbow joints are involved. My hands are involved to clean the wound, to put a Band-Aid on the wound, to make it all better again. So what happens now then is oftentimes parts of the body, like Archippus, the danger was that they could possibly not be where they're supposed to be. The Bible says in Galatians 6, Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now then, oftentimes what we do, oftentimes what we find ourselves doing, is when somebody is overtaken in a fault, we say things like this. Well, I saw that coming.
Yes, sir.
We'll say things like this. Bless his heart. And yet there is no aid going to help them. Nobody going to their door and saying, Brother, we need you. Sister, we need you in the house of God. Because you have a place in the body. And not one part of the body is higher or lower than the other. We're all in the body together. And the Bible says this now, Hang with us. He says in that same verse, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, the edifying of itself in love. In other words, tonight you need what I've got.
Amen.
I need what you've got.
Right.
What God has placed in you. The giftings that He's placed according to the book of Ephesians. He said the gift of Christ that He placed in you is for the edifying of the body. And when the body comes together, have y'all been in a service where you just come in and you felt like you've been wounded in the world? You're tired, maybe like Archippus, and it's just this this mental anguish, and you come to the house of God, and it seems like there's nothing to give, but there'll be some old saint to raise their hand and say, "Can I testify?" And they might just testify about the provision of God, about God's goodness, and all of a sudden, a little something starts fluttering down on the inside of your heart. That's the body edifying itself in love. That's the body reaching out and fixing what's been wounded.
Amen,
so now then, we need one another. I need what y'all got, and you need what I got. So all of a sudden, it puts us on the same level. Whatever God has got you to do, whether it's a big job or a little job, I want to remind you how to stay with God.
Amen.
And so, what we find is when that fluttering of the heart, how it begins to melt on the inside, how it begins to help us and realize we're a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's what he said here in Song of Solomon. The Bible says that the winter's gone, the rain is over. Winter's past, the rain is over and gone. And the Bible says this, the time of the singing of birds is come. Thank God for when the birds sing again. There's times that we've gone through dry spells. We've gone through discouraging spells, depressing spells. And it seems like the birds of our heart ain't singing again. Oh, what we need is for the body of Christ to realize your position, your placement in the body is very, very, very important. To the man of God, to every teacher in here, to every saint of God, every member, no matter what, if all you do is cut the thermostat on and come to the house of God and sing in power, then thank God you've got a place in the body. Don't let anybody discourage you and say it's not no good. It is good, thank God. You're in the body of Christ. You're just as much saved as I am, thank God. Woo, what a blessing it is to know that the birds are clearly able to sing again. I remember walking through the land of Israel many times. I remember going through that land over and over again. And there is a wet season and a dry season. I was walking in the Negev desert one time, and we passed through this. It was a big old dry riverbed. There right in the middle was this sign that was staked up way high, and it said, "Beware of drowning. Water rising fast." And I began to chuckle and laugh out loud, and I told my professor, I said, "Well, the Israelis know how to joke." It was in all different languages. And I said, "That's pretty funny." And he looked at me and he said, "No, that's very, very serious." He said, "When it's raining in the mountains," he said, you can't even hear the thunder boom. He said, "But it'll fall a flood." He said, "In a matter of minutes, matter of seconds, those that are out here in this area are caught away in swift, rising, moving water." And when that water would begin to move and begin to, the rains were gone. You understand, the rains were gone. But in that desert place, when that water would begin to come again and flow, the birds would start singing. So when you come to the house of God and you think that your testimony is insignificant, dear friend, the thunderstorm, the cloud burst is over your head and it's fixing to run through you like a torrent river and bless somebody else. That'll cause them birds singing in your soul again, thank God. I was in Brazil, leaving this last time back the last of July. I brought 3 spears from the Mayaduna tribe. They made them for me, and I brought one, gave one to a boy that spent a month with me, And I gave one to him as a gift. I took one to Mama's and hung it on the wall. And the other one I carried around in my car for miles and miles and miles. I thought the Lord would touch my heart and I'd be able to give it to a preacher or a pastor or someone that's helped me and prayed for us, and if they can see it and remember. I was down in Florida, down near Destin. I was coming through visiting some folk, and I come through this place. I had gone in a specific place and began to talk to this man as the Lord led us in there. And while I was in there, the guy began to share his testimony with me, how he was hooked on cocaine, how that he had got caught transporting it, some 16 tons of cocaine in his car when they caught him. Spent time in a federal pen. His wife faithfully stayed by his side the entire time. Well, in this testimony, he's telling me how God gloriously saved him. The Lord tells me, give this man that spear. And I said, okay, Lord, I'll give it to him. As he's finishing his testimony, he said, when our boy was born, he was the product. He was the fruit of mine and my wife's cocaine addiction. And he had deformities internally, mentally, couldn't speak, all these things. He begins to tell me about the boy's salvation experience, about how God had touched his boy. The first words his boy said was, Daddy, God touched me. And he said, do you want to meet my boy? I said, yeah, I want to meet him. We go out behind the shop and there's this little place and he's got a little place set up for him. He knocks on the door. He says, son, it's daddy. It's your daddy. He comes to the door. He opens the door and he says, hello. I could tell by the way he said hello that there was something still not altogether right. The man said, this man is a Baptist preacher. He's a minister, son, and he's come by to see us today. And he looked at his boy and he said, son, tell the preacher who's number one at our house. He was pointing his finger up and he said, Jesus is number one at our house. My heart began to be moved. And he said, son, tell this preacher what you collect. And he said, I collect swords and weapons and stuff. And I said, how about that, son? I said, well, here, this spear must be for you. And I gave it to him. I'll be honest with you. You and I tonight, if we'll all be honest with ourselves, we would have took one look at this boy and never gave him a second look. He's messed up. He don't fit like the rest of us. But he's just as much saved as what you and I are. Got in my car and I'm driving down the road. I said, Lord, I thought that spear was for a preacher. I thought I was going to give that to a pastor, Lord. And the Lord said, I love that boy. I love him so much that I would tell you to pick a spear up in Brazil and drop it off at his doorstep as a special gift from me to him. I'm driving down the road and coming through that dry place. Little birds begin to flutter my heart. That God had used me to be able to reach out to somebody that was in the body of Christ. You ought to have saw him when he picked it up in his hands. I wish you'd have seen him when he got that thing. I got to looking at it. How God touched him with it. And I just said, Lord, I mean, what a blessing it was to be able to be in the body of Christ. Oh, now, Archippus, there's still more to your instruction. And we understand the take heed part. Where you are in ministry is where God has placed you. Don't argue with it. We know that your ministry is a tool of God. That you're a tool in His hand. We know that it's of the Lord. You have received it in the Lord. And then He says this, that thou fulfill it. It's almost as if the take heed part is spoken to the carnal man, the fleshly man. And the fulfill part is spoken to the inner man. Oftentimes, it's the carnal man that dictates to our spirit man what we need to do. But oftentimes, as it should be, the spirit man speaking to the carnal, the fleshly man, we're going to do this today. This is what God wants us to do. And so, even in the book of Psalm, chapter 84, I believe it is, it's David that gets in such desperation that he says, "My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God." Got to such a place where his carnal man and spirit man was calling out unto God. But he says, "Fulfill it."
Amen.
Anybody want to guess where the word "fulfill" is first mentioned in the Word of God? It's the same story. Jacob and Laban. Jacob has worked 7 years. He goes in, he thinks, "I'm going to marry Rachel, the love of my life." Goes back to his tent that night and pulls the veil back and realizes this is Leah. I didn't work for this. This is not what I had expected. Laban, you have beguiled me. You've tricked me. And what does Laban say? He said, "Fulfill her week, and then I'll give you the one that you love."
Amen.
Fulfill Leah's week. It's not what he had wanted. It's not what he had anticipated. But it is what God dropped off in his basket. Sometimes the position of Christ in the body where he's placed us is not what we had expected. Lord, I had expected a greater this. Or Lord, I had expected a bigger this. I had expected this, Lord. And you've given me Leah. But he says, "Fulfill." He says, "Fulfill."
Amen.
When we look at Leah, and we look at the fruit, the children that she bore, we come down, we find that she bore Reuben and Levi, those that would carry the tribe, that would carry the instruments to the ark of God, those that worked in the temple. We find that that in her womb was Simeon, Issachar, Zibeon, and the daughter Dinah. But there was one more, Judah. And out of Judah comes a roaring lion whose name is Jesus.
Amen.
I want to remind you tonight, dear friend, don't matter where God has placed you in the body of Christ, take heed. It's where God's placed you. Fulfill it. It's what He wants you to do. It may not be what you think, but oh, God has a far greater vision long in the future, and His foreknowledge knows what it'll produce. Stay with God. Don't get out of what God has placed in the body of Christ. It is important. You are making a difference. Stay with God. He's got great things He'll produce out of your life. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. When it's not what you want, just fulfill it anyway. Just stay with God. Well, how are we? How are we doing tonight? I'll be honest with you. When I first went to Brazil, I'm through preaching, I think.